Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Kevin Keehan.
You know, in the book of Acts chapter 2, when Peter and the other apostles had delivered the lesson there at Pentecost, these individuals came to realize that they had nailed Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, to the cross. An innocent man was dying for something that he himself had not done. And as a result of that, according to the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, says, "And they became pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" In verse 38, Peter responded unto them, and he said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin." Good people, that day the Bible identifies unto us is that about 3,000 souls confessed Christ to be the Son of the living God. And that day about 3,000 souls put Christ on in baptism. And they were added unto the Lord's church. They became members of the body of Christ. And they were to serve our God faithfully until death. Today, as I stand before you, I tell you that we are saved by faith, but good people, we are not saved by faith only. In denominational churches, they teach that baptism is a work and that mankind is not to work to earn his salvation. Certainly, we understand what the Apostle Paul taught in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. He says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves, lest anyone boast." And certainly, good people, as I stand before you today, I tell you that there is indeed nothing that I can do nor that you can do to earn our salvation. We cannot dream up any type of work wherein that God is going to look at us and say that I account unto you righteousness because of the thing that you have done, for the things that we have dreamed up. But rather, good people, the Bible does identify unto us that, yes, baptism is a work, but it's not our work. It is the working of God. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And when we obey Christ in baptism, then God works in heaven on the account of our obedience to Him to forgive us of our sin, our transgression of His law. In denominational churches, they believe that baptism is not essential. In all of this, they sometimes will argue from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 11 through 17, where Paul says, concerning those at Corinth, they were claiming some to be of Paul, some to be of Apollos, and some even to claiming to be of Christ. And Paul says that, "I am glad that I baptized none of you." Good people, Paul, in the context here, is not doing what the denominationalists contend. They claim that Paul is saying that baptism is not essential, but rather what Paul is saying in the context is he says that if you're going to boast and to brag that you're one of my disciples, he says, "I'm glad that I did not baptize you, but rather that you were baptized by somebody else." Not that they were not essential for them to be baptized. In fact, I remind you of what Jesus taught concerning baptism. In the book of Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, our Lord says, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be condemned." How did Jesus feel about baptism? Good people, He felt very much so. He taught, in fact, He commanded that it is essential for salvation. In denominational churches, they contend that baptism can be done. They believe that it is a first step. And believe it or not, they go to the Bible to prove this. In the book of Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 48, where Cornelius and his household are taught by Peter concerning the way of God and the will of God, how that these individuals needed to turn from sin and how that they needed to be cleansed of sin. And the Bible identifies unto us that they received the Holy Spirit. And at that time, Peter says, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized?" What is it that Peter was thinking? Good people, I believe in the context that Peter might have been thinking the same thing that denominationalists contend, and that is that these people, because they had received the Holy Spirit, that now they did not need to be baptized, that they were saved before God. However, the Bible tells us, good people, because merely they believed and because they had received the Holy Spirit, it did not account them for salvation. Why do I say that? Because the Bible identifies unto us is that these individuals must be baptized in order for them to receive the forgiveness of our sin. And they were baptized in the context of the book of Acts chapter 10, for the forgiveness of their sin. In denominational churches, they preach and teach that faith only offers salvation. Good people, guess what? They have no true Bible verse to go to say faith only offers salvation. Why do I say that? Because the only time that faith and only appear together in the Bible is in the book of James chapter 2 and verse 24. And James says that a man is not justified by faith only. In denominational churches, good people, these people argue that all who believe on Jesus Christ will be saved. In the book of John chapter 3 and verse 16, we understand, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved. Good people, in this, they contend is that in this we learn is that God sent Jesus into the world and that whoever believes on Him will not be saved. Understand the context of the Scripture is not will not, but should not. What does that word should mean? It is contingent upon the individual understanding and doing what it is that God commands one to do in order for them to be a recipient of the forgiveness of sin and to be added unto the body of Christ. In fact, we understand, as the Apostle Paul taught the saints at Rome in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, what does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? Good people, it means more than just saying, I believe in the Lord. It is more than saying a sinner's prayer. And why do I emphasize that? Because a sinner's prayer is never found in the Bible. We do find is where those who have been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, that they offer prayer, having fallen subject to sin, taking into consideration the book of Acts chapter 8 with Simon the sorcerer. He had been baptized, and yet at the same time he sinned against God, and he prayed, not as a sinner who had never obeyed, but rather as a sinner who had obeyed, and now as a result of being baptized, he has that avenue to pray unto God to wherein that he's going to receive forgiveness. In all of this, the sinner's prayer is not taught in the Bible anywhere where one can receive the initial forgiveness of sin. But yet at the same time, I do conclude, according to what we learn in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, is that God extends salvation unto anyone who is willing to do what God commands one to do in order for them to become a child of His. Also, sometimes they argue from what Ananias said to Saul, Paul as we later come to know him, they say that he was not baptized whenever Ananias referred to him as Brother Saul. Good people understand in the context, he was not identifying him as a brother in Christ, but rather as a brother of a Jew. In these things, he was identifying him as a fellow citizen of the same nationality of which he himself was a part of. It has nothing at all to do with his salvation. Somebody says, Kevin, how do you know that? Good people, whenever we take into consideration the book of Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Ananias looked to him and he said to him, Saul, Saul, why do you tarry, but arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord and having your sins washed away. Good people, Paul, or Saul at that time, needed to have baptism performed in order for him to receive the forgiveness of sin. He was not a brother in Christ, but rather he was a brother as a Jew. But also we understand from the context of the book of Acts chapter 16 is that they will argue and misuse and abuse the Philippian jailer and his household and the things that the Apostle Paul had contended to them. These individuals had been taught the way of Jesus, and as a result of their teaching then, the Bible identifies unto us that these people wanted to be saved. And in the context, we understand is that Paul and Silas explains unto them is that they must believe on the name of the Lord Jesus, and he and his household should and could be saved. Good people, they stop there in the context where it says, believe on Jesus and you will be saved. And they contend there then that these individuals just needed to believe. And therefore, as a result of that, still to this day, is that people just need to believe and they will be able to be saved. According to what we learn as you read on in the context of verse 34, the Bible identifies unto us that these individuals who believe, they were taken that same hour of the night and their stripes were washed. Well, what does that mean? Good people, it identifies that they were baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. What does that mean? It means that if an individual believes, then baptism will follow. Why? Because in order for one to receive the forgiveness of sin, belief alone is not enough. Baptism is essential. Isn't it interesting? They don't even stop there. They go on and they argue concerning the thief on the cross, and they say that he was not baptized. And it's interesting, I've even talked to some in denominationalists, and they will say, I got you. You can't say anything about that. Good people, we can say much about that. In fact, we understand first and foremost, how do we know that this man had not been baptized? He seems certainly to be familiar with Jesus. And in all of this, somebody says, well, how do we know then that he was baptized according to Jesus' baptism? I'm not contending that he was baptized according to the baptism of Christ, but rather that he may have been baptized according to John's baptism. John had been with people at that time, preaching and teaching baptism for the forgiveness of sin. And as a result of that, he had baptized a number of people, leading for and pointing to the baptism of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And during that time, that baptism was indeed valid. But yet at the same time, good people, as I stand before you, I tell you that it was not necessary for him to receive the forgiveness of sin through baptism. Why is that? Because this man lived and died under the old law, the law of Moses. And therefore, he could have kept that law, and by keeping that law, Jesus then imputes unto him at the final stage of his life righteousness because of the fact that he turns to the Lord and asks for forgiveness. In all of that, certainly Jesus had the ability, the power, and the right to do those things. But understand, our Lord, according to the Colossians letter, Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, nailed the law of Moses to the cross, and therefore, the way in which Jesus spoke words of forgiveness unto that man are not valid unto this day in the Lord's church. In the Lord's church, as I stand before you, I tell you that most certainly we believe that faith is essential for salvation. In fact, the Hebrews writer exclaims in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, he says that those who come to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently search Him. Good people, in all of this, we understand in the book of John chapter 8 and verse 24, that unless one believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that they shall die in their sins. Somebody says, Kevin, what are you saying? Good people, we certainly believe that faith is essential unto salvation, but faith only will not save you. Why do I say that again in the book of James chapter 2 and verse 24? The writer there exclaims that faith only is not where one will receive justification. We also understand, as is taught by Jesus in Mark 16 and verse 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not will be condemned. Good people, in the Old Testament, faith was necessary in order for people to please our God. We learn from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. This goes back to Genesis chapter 4, verses 2 through 10, where the context reveals unto us is that God had commanded Cain and Abel to offer sacrificial offerings unto Him. And good people also understand that if our God requires someone to do something, He's also going to explain in very great detail exactly what it is that He requires of them. And for that reason, I contend that God had explained unto Cain and unto Abel exactly the type of sacrifice that He commanded these men to offer in order for them to be pleasing and acceptable unto them. We understand the context that Abel offered that type of the sacrificial offering and God was pleased with him. And Cain offered something contrary to that which was going to be pleasing to God. And good people, God condemned him for such. But the context also I want to point out in regard to this, is that they offered. They didn't just have faith that God was going to impute unto them righteousness, but rather that God required something of them. It had action. They followed through with doing what it was that God had commanded of them. We also understand from the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 that Noah prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. God had told Noah that He was not pleased with the people of that day. And good people, as a result of that, God had said that He was going to destroy mankind from the face of the earth with a worldwide universal flood. But God says concerning Noah in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8 that He found grace in the sight of the Lord. And our God told Noah to prepare an ark. Good people understand in the context, Noah did not know what an ark was. It was a big boat or a big vessel, seaworthy vessel. He did not know what that was, nor did he understand, nor know what rain was at that time. Why? Because the Bible says that it had not rained upon the face of the earth in that day. But Noah, in faith, believed God. There's his belief. And God commanded Noah to build an ark. And He gave him very specific, explicit detail in regard to the dimensions of the ark, in regard to the style of the ark, the structure of the ark, even all the way down to the type of wood, gopher wood. And good people, the Bible identifies unto us is that Noah prepared the ark. He did everything according to the standards that God had commanded him. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22. Well, what does he say? Noah believed God and God saved his family? Absolutely not. Noah acted in his belief in preparing the ark. Obedience, doing the actions that God required of him. But also, I want to point out a man by the name of Abraham, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. Abraham had been commissioned by God to leave his homeland, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. And the Bible tells us that in his belief for God that he left and he journeyed into a strange land. Good people, it did not end there. Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, his only son, his promised son. God had promised unto Abraham and unto Sarah a son through whom all of the earth would eventually be blessed. And as a result of that then, God blessed this union, their marriage relationship with Isaac. And good people, whenever the lad began to grow, then God also required of Abraham that he would offer him on an altar as an offering. And good people, as a result of that, as his belief in God, as his desire to please God, the Bible tells us that he went and offered him on the altar. Now we know in the context of Genesis chapter 22 that God stepped forward and provided an offering, a lamb offering. But still at the same time, Abraham believed God, and based out of his belief, he followed through as far as God allowed him to follow through in obedience. And as a result of his following through with the commandments of God, then it was imputed to him. It was given unto him for righteousness' sake. He was right with God. In the Old Testament Scripture, faith always had an action to it if it was going to be pleasing unto God. In the New Testament, the Bible identifies unto us that saving faith conjoins action. It commands some form of action. Faith is gained through knowledge. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then now faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Good people understand though, it's not faith only. God requires us to apply His standard to our everyday walk of life. James chapter 2 and verse 22, do not be hearers of the Word only, but doers. Well, what does He mean? He says whenever you hear God's Word taught, He says you need to make the personal application to your everyday walk of life if you plan to be pleasing and acceptable to God. But also, faith then is demonstrated through love. Why do we do the things that God commands us to do beginning in baptism, but yet at the same time, it could also be inclusive of our coming together today for the purpose of worshiping and praising God. It also includes whenever we depart from here, whenever we go out into the world, we live our life faithful to God. Why do we do these things? Good people, if we're doing it as a checklist, if we're doing it from a legalistic standpoint, we are of all men most miserable and wrong. Why do I say that? Because the basis of everything that we do, the works that we do, beginning in baptism and everything from that point forward, must be based out of love. Galatians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. But also, note the words of Jesus in John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, good people, I understand that if we love God, He's going to be able to see our love based out of our doing His commandments. But everything that we do, and this is a check for us, everything that we do, we need to ask ourselves, am I doing it based out of my love for God or fear for God? Fear certainly ought to factor into the equation, but yet at the same time, it must not be our determination or motivation for everything that we do. Why do I say that? Because if we're doing those things based out of fear and fear alone, number one, eventually we're going to be so beaten down that we're going to go off path. Or, whenever we stand before God in judgment, that's not going to be good enough. Why? Because God wants us to love Him and to do the things we do based out of that love with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And good people, God certainly will see and know that. But also, saving faith is faith that is working unto total obedience unto our God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. The saints at Rome were commended by the Apostle Paul because of their obedience unto the faith. The faith. The article is there in the Greek language, and good people understand. He's talking about the system of faith of which God had prescribed. Well, what's under consideration here? The people, I believe, also in the context of Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 18, verses 17 and 18 identifies in this is that there is a pattern that God has prescribed for mankind and that mankind must follow in order to be pleasing unto Him. If you go back in the context of Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7, you're going to understand that a part of that pattern is baptism. Baptism for the forgiveness of sin. Baptism that is a burial into Christ and a baptism that is raised, cleansed of sin, and then therefore to walk in newness of life. Good people, our God's plan of salvation is very plainly stated in the New Testament Scripture. One must hear the Word of God proclaimed. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 15 through 17. God wants His law to be sown into the hearts of mankind. Well, God's law consists of where and what? Good people, God's law comes from the Bible. In fact, it is indeed His inspired message that He's proclaimed to mankind. In fact, how do we learn the Word of God? We understand, as we read a few moments ago from Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And based out of what it is that we have heard and learned from God's Word, then we are to be drawn unto God. John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45. Good people, then, having heard God's Word, God wants mankind to believe in Him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Good people, we must believe. It's not something that is an option. Mankind must believe in God, and that He is eternal, and that He is a rewarder of all those who diligently seek Him. But not only to believe in God, we must believe in Jesus, John chapter 8 and verse 24. Unless we believe that He is He, then we shall die in our sin. Good people, what does it mean to believe in Jesus to that level? I believe that we have that answered in the book of Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, where Philip had taught the Ethiopian eunuch, and based out of the fact that he had taught him about Jesus, the Bible says that they came unto a certain water, and he says, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said to him, "If you believe with all of your heart, you may." And the Bible then tells us that the eunuch said, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." He made that good confession based out of his belief in Jesus Christ. And today, good people, mankind still must believe in Jesus Christ, that He is indeed the Son of the living God. And they also must be willing to repent of their sinful lifestyle. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." If someone thinks that they have not sinned, we understand that they deceive themselves and the truth is not in them. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. In all of this, then, how do we receive the forgiveness of sin? Good people, we receive the forgiveness of sin in baptism, but also, whenever an individual is baptized, the Bible tells us that they must repent. What does it mean to repent? To repent means is that one realizes from a mental standpoint that they have sinned against our God's law. That convicts them of their sin. And based out of that conviction, conjoined with their love for God, they realize that they can no longer walk down that pathway of sin. That they must walk, having been raised out of that watery grave of baptism, a new creature, they must walk in newness of life. They must walk according to the standards, the will of God, the high and holy standards that God has laid down for humanity. Unless one repents, they cannot be a participant, a recipient of God's eternal plan. God's plan of salvation also requires an individual to confess. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10 says, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Again, we go back to Acts chapter 8 and verse 37 and 38. The eunuch confessed Jesus Christ to be the Son of the living God. And good people, today you and I must be willing to make that good confession that He is indeed the Son of God and that He is the Savior of the world. But yet at the same time, if one is willing to believe, if one hears the Word and willing to believe and they say that they will confess Christ and that they will repent of their sins, they are still not a Christian until they are baptized. Why do I say that? Because Jesus taught that. Good people, in the Great Commission, in the book of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Why baptism? Because baptism washes away sin. Acts 22 and verse 16. Because baptism saves us. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Baptism gives us an ability to stand before God with an answer of a good conscience whenever we stand before God. And good people, understand, baptism is indeed a work. It is our work of obedience to the commandments of God. But it is the working of God in heaven on the account of what we have done in seeking to please God. Colossians 2, verses 11 and 12. The good people also understand God's plan of salvation requires mankind to remain faithful unto death. Baptism is not a once and done deal. You've heard me say that before. Baptism is indeed the essential step that puts us into Christ. But baptism within itself will not save us if we are not willing to remain faithful to death. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22. "He who endures to the end will be saved." Matthew 10, verses 33 and 34 says that we must confess Christ in order for Him to confess us before the Father which is in heaven. And good people, that is a daily confession of Christ. Well, what does that mean? Good people, that means that every single day of our life we need to confess Christ. We need to live our life for the Lord. But also understand, it means that we must be faithful to the Lord in every facet of which He commands of us in the New Testament Scripture. It means that we assemble ourselves together upon the first day of the week with the Lord's people. And if we forsake that, then we walk away from the Lord. It means that we assemble ourselves together for the purpose of worshiping and praising God and the partaking of the Lord's Supper and the hearing of the Word of God and the singing of God's words through music as His people. It means that every single day of our life, we don't only claim to be a Christian, but good people, that we live out of what it truly means to be a child of God. Today we ask, as we point out, the Bible very clearly points and says is that faith without works is dead, James 2, 14 through 26. And today we ask you, do you believe? Do you truly believe in God, that He does exist? We live in a world of atheism and skepticism. Don't allow that to taint your thoughts. Read the Bible and search the evidence. And today, if you've done that and we ask you, do you truly believe? And you say, "Yes, Kevin, I believe. I truly believe that God does exist, and I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God." Then we also ask you, have you demonstrated your belief in these things, in God, in Christ, by obeying Christ in baptism? You may be sitting here today and saying, "No, I've not done that." If you've not done that, then the Bible tells us that your belief alone will not save you. You must have belief that has been joined with action, beginning in baptism, and then living your life faithful unto the end.